This programme was funded with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee. Hello and welcome to part 6 in the series Community Sports Clubs of County Louth, the Dundalk Golf Club. The club was founded in 1905 in Deer Park on the Carrick Road and then relocated to Black Rock, where it has been based since 1922. When you look back at the coastline from the clubhouse, you notice the expansive practice area and target area which overlooks Dundalk Bay. Beyond, across the water, is the Cooley Peninsula and the Mourne Mountains. Sean Hessian from the Marketing and Promotions Committee introduced me to members, but first he explained the business side of running a golf club, which is divided into three sections: course, tournament and house.
Course, your course is very important in any golf club, in that if your course isn't presented well, you won't get people playing, you won't get members joining, you won't get visitors coming, you won't get outings, and you won't get events that will make money for the club. So that's a very important facet of the club. We would have a head greenkeeper who's Damien English, and his job would be to manage the staff. He would have a staff of probably 7 full-time people working under him at any one time. Then when it comes to tournament is certainly voluntary. Most of the members now, and the newer breed of member, they want to play in competition. So the tournament committee must have active competitions on a weekly basis, and bi-weekly and tri-weekly for these members. That's what the demand is, and that's what they do. So it's fairly busy too. So house is the general management of the club in terms of the finance, the running of the bar, the running of the restaurant, the renewals and repairs, everything to do with general management of a big business, which a golf club now is and which we now are.
We took a walk around the clubhouse, around to the first tee. Sean pointed out a memorial seat that was in the memory of Mick Spillane, an honorary secretary of the club and former principal of the Blackrock Primary School. We met Len Mullins, who has been a member of the club for over 40 years. Len tells me about a memorial garden that we can see just in front of us.
We're overlooking the 18th green, and south of it we have a commemorative garden, a remembrance garden for deceased members of the club. It consists of approximately an acre that has been designed to, from an environmental point of view, to look well, and that people can commemorate their friends as they pass by.
And there's a stone circle. We can't actually, and you see the tips of the stones.
Yes,
there as well. Were they always there? Or was
No. There is a stone. The memorial itself in the garden is a stone circle, which is based on Irish stone circles, which you will see around the country and in parts of Brittany and in Britain and Scotland. And that is a replica of that, and that is the memorial to the deceased members
and
of the club.
Who looks after that then?
The core staff, generally speaking.
Okay. And do you help out with that at all?
Yes. Yeah. I keep an eye on it.
We have another one. We have another memorial garden in front of the clubhouse, which is dedicated to the late Brendan McCooey, and it was built in centenary year. And Brendan McCooey, again a former vice principal of a secondary school, he spent a lot of time to this club and dedicated his life to the juvenile golf. And this is. This was the forerunner probably of the great juvenile section we have. It's been worked on for years, but he was one of the founders of an active juvenile section. In our centenary year 2005, Brendan was the main man behind designing and printing a centenary book which we have. So he did all the research with a few other people, but he was certainly the main man behind it.
Sean gave me a lend of his copy of Brendan's book, and I was interested in a golf inquiry on page 23 that was written by P.L. McArdle, Secretary of Dundalk Golf Club, to the Royal and Ancient Golf Club, St. Andrews in Fife, in March 1918. This letter and the reply is read for us now by Jerry McDermott and Kevin Corcoran.
Dundalk Golf Club, March 27th, 1918. Dear Sir, at a stroke competition held on the 19th inst, 27 holes under handicap, player A, C. McAllister, and player B, F. O'Connell, played together. Both drove off from the 27th tee. B proceeded down the fairway first and played A's ball, thinking it was his own. The stroke drove the ball about 30 yards, and it was in sight on the fairway when A came down, and B stated to him that it was his ball. A looked for his ball at the point where he thought it should be, but was unable, of course, to find it, and after search, presumably over 5 minutes, went back and drove another ball from the tee and played another shot. When A and B came down to the spot where A's first ball was lying, they both saw that it was A's ball and not B's. Acting on suggestion from some of the members of the committee of the club on the spot, A continued playing his first ball and finished the hole. His score for the hole was 5, as per the card, which I enclose. The 5 does not include the stroke played by B. According to the card, A is the winner of the cup. If the score was one more, he would be defeated by the next best card. I have marked the hole on the card in red ink. The facts were admitted by both A and B, and my counsel would feel much obliged for a decision of the Golf Rules Committee. 1. As to whether A is disqualified. 2. As to whether, if not disqualified, his score for the hole in question is 5 or 6. Yours truly, P. L. McArdle. Honorary Secretary, Dundalk Golf Club, Dundalk.
The Royal and Ancient Golf Club of St Andrews, Fife. 4th May, 1918. To P. L. McArdle, Esquire, Honorary Secretary, Dundalk Golf Club, Dundalk. Rules of Golf. Dear Sir, in reply to your letter of 27th March, I have to state that the case is a hard one for A, as the mistake arose in the first place by the fault of B. A, having failed to find his ball after a search of 5 minutes, should have continued to play with his second ball, and is therefore liable to disqualification. A should have satisfied himself that B had not played the wrong ball. Yours faithfully, Henry Gullen, Secretary. N.B. It does not appear from the question why B's ball was not found while the search for A's was being made.
We're now entering the, let's say, the social area of the golf club, which is bar and restaurant combined. Today is a very big day in the annals of the club in that it's the final day of the men's captain's prize, and it will be a big social night in the club. It's probably the climax of the year, certainly for the gents. The last day of the captain's prize signals the end of the golfing season as such. So it's the most sought-after prize in the golfing calendar, and it's been played for over 2 Sundays, and today is the final day, and tonight there will be a presentation of prizes for the winners. So it's a big day and a big night. Mickey Coburn there just passing by. He's checking that all the prices are
Captain
in place.
Mickey Coburn told me how the club's members help in maintaining the course.
As you know, there's probably the guts of 200 acres out there. Now, we do have a course staff compiling of 6 people. But it's like everything else. Sometimes they need a hand, and we'll rally the troops and hopefully they come on board. And I must say, for the length of time I've been here, a member for 15 years, any time we've asked our members to, we'll say for talk's sake, divot the fairways, which is it's a tedious old job, you know. The men and the women, sometimes more women than men, would come and divot the fairways without a qualm.
Okay, for somebody who doesn't know what divot the fairways means, how would you describe it?
A divot is when somebody takes a shot on a fairway, and actually a sod comes out, right? So a lot of people don't bother, I'll use that word, bother replacing that divot. If that divot's not replaced within 24 hours, it's dead, it dies. So we then have to go in and fill the hole in the ground with a mix of soil and sand and seed. We replace the divot, it'll take root. Now that takes three or four weeks. So it would be far better if people would just replace their divot.
Our lady captain, Maeve Ahern, she's in charge of the ship with Mickey this year and doing a great job. And it's been a very successful year for her so far. Very, very involved in charity raising for the club.
Yes, my captain's charity day this year, as there was a new lifeboat launched in Clogher Head, and in memory of the crew of OR116 and Captain Duffy, Mark Duffy's son is a member here in the club, young Fionn, I decided that the RNLI would be my chosen charity on that day, and we raised 16,000 that day. We had an art, a lot of artists subscribed a piece of artwork, and we had a giant draw for that, which raised about 4,000, and the rest was from subs from the Gulf. Then we had another day, which was North Louth Hospice, which we run every year, and we made a lot of money for that too, which is a charity close to my heart. We'll have our Pink Ladies Day in September now, which is a competition where we'll all wear pink and play, and that's for breast cancer. That's nationwide, and that money will go to charity too.
I met Mary Dooley and Katrina Keneally, who are on the Ladies Committee.
Yeah, my name is Mary Dooley. I'm from Drumiskin, and I'm on the Ladies Committee here of Dundalk Golf Club. Yeah.
And when did you join the golf club here?
I'm here 20 years, actually. Yeah.
Remember the first time that you came up and had a look around?
Well, my husband was a member here before I was. He was a captain in the Millennium Captain in 2000. And I actually started in Killinbeg. And I was a captain in Killinbeg in 1997. Exactly 20 years ago, and I actually got into Dundalk Golf Club the same year.
I joined about 7 years ago, and like Mary, I played in Killinbeg first, so I could play a game of golf before I arrived. But it's a very inclusive club here. We have a great Tuesday. We have a full timesheet most weeks, and the ladies enjoy coming up. We play our game of golf, and we come in then and have something to eat. And if there's a presentation that evening, there's a great representation from the ladies, and we come back and have a great evening. We are very happy to recruit the younger ladies, and we have a very good juvenile section here in the club. That we really, the ladies that work with the juveniles do excellent work, and the girls, and they're looking for, well, they're always anxious to bring the girls on more and more, because it is, I suppose, very much a male-dominated sport, and the ladies have a place here too.
I asked Maeve if the club was attracting many younger lady members.
Three new members this year now in their 30s, so it's great to see that, a younger age profile. We have about 300 ladies of all ages, from young through to juniors, juveniles, and some senior ladies. We have a couple of ladies still playing in their 80s. Some of the ladies will play a 9-hole competition only, but most of us, about 150, 160, will play the 18 holes every Tuesday from about April to October. And then in winter, we reduce that to a 9-hole competition. And they'll come up then for lunch or for a meal in the evening or a drink for the prize giving. So very sociable, and it's a very, very friendly club. So they're all mixing, people mix very well, and you just get to know everybody in it. But it's a game that you can play from age 8 until, as I said, well into your 80s. So I would encourage any ladies who are interested, girls, women, to come along and on a Tuesday maybe and just try it out.
Now, the next person I'd like you to meet is our club professional, Leslie Walker. And Leslie has been here for, I'd say, close on 15 years. A very important function in any golf club that you have a good club professional. As I said earlier, he was young blood at the time. He has a lot of new ideas, and he's brought them to the club. We have a great youth juvenile policy. We have great young juveniles coming up through the ranks, and in no small way thanks to Leslie. So I'll introduce you to Leslie now.
So, you know, one of my passions is coaching the game, and we're very fortunate here in Dundalk. We have a fantastic junior program, one of the biggest in the country. So our juvenile membership is probably over about 270 at the moment. And we've got a great setup, a lot of helpers, a lot of volunteers, the club, the committees. So we're probably one of the most progressive junior clubs, and to be the pro here is fantastic for that. So it's a great pleasure to be able to coach a lot of the teams. We've had some great success recently. And then a number of our individual players have got Irish caps. We have Keenan in the senior team. We have Owen in the under-18s, and Josh Mackin in the under-16s. It's fantastic for the club. The club has gone from strength to strength.
Keelan, Owen and Josh are in the clubhouse wearing their green Golf Ireland jackets, and I get to talk to each of them later. But first, Leslie tells me that people shouldn't be hesitant about seeking a lesson.
There's no, people always say, come worried for a lesson, thinking, God, I hope you've never seen me swing this swing, you know. And I always say, I've seen every swing. So what you do try to, for people, you just try and make it enjoyable, less complicated, and get them, you know, get them to get the most out of their golf. But I love golf, so when you love golf, you just want to be involved in it.
This is an unprecedented time for the golf club. Our last full senior international was in 1952, and Keelan Rafferty got his first cap for Ireland this year, and he's just returned from the home internationals, played in Leeds there, where Ireland won the tournament for the fourth year in a row. Our other international, Owen Murphy, he's a junior international, the second junior international we've had here in the last 20 years. Our last one was a guy called Danny Coyle, and he has represented us very well in various events over the recent months. And the other international is a guy called Josh Mackin, an under-16 international, and similarly he has represented his country. So unprecedented, we have three full internationals, and one of them a senior international, so we're very proud of that.
Hey, I'm Keelan Rafferty. Playing out Dundalk Golf Plus 4 and recently represented Ireland there on senior level.
My name's Owen Murphy. I'm representing Dundalk Golf Club. I was in the Irish Boys Home Internationals team recently over in Lidham on the under-18 panel.
I asked Keelan how the members of the club have reacted to their success.
Well, a lot of people coming up to you and congratulating you, which is always nice. It's great to see such a big following as well in the golf club, and that's what we try and do. We're members in Dundalk for a reason. We're proud of where we are. As I say, I was in Greenore anyway, so I've done my bit for every club I can do. You're there for a reason. You wear the badge on your chest when you're there. And when you get to the Irish level, to see your name, Keelan Rafferty, Dundalk, and that playing for your country, it's nice to get it now. It's really nice. You do stick your chest out a wee bit more and stand a wee bit taller. Just not as tall as Owen, but we'll get there.
Describe how it feels, you know, to come away with these medals and the success.
That's, I suppose, it's a very proud thing to represent your country at that level, but you have to remember where you started off, and we do, and we get a lot of help off the members here and all the committee, and they look after us in terms of covering competition costs, and that takes a lot of the stress off, so it's nice to sort of repay them with getting to represent your country and represent your club at that international sort of stage.
What age are you guys now at the minute? You're 20?
Me, I'm 24 now.
Yeah, I'm 17, starting my leaving cert now in a couple of weeks.
Right, and what's going to happen the next couple of years, 2-3 years down the line for someone like yourself?
Well, for myself, I'm actually going back to college now. I'm going to Maynooth. I got the Pádraig Harrington Scholarship in Maynooth, so I'm going back to do business management, which is a 3-year course. So in 3 years' time, I'll hopefully have a full degree in out of Maynooth, and the golf will still be there. I'll be playing golf for the college and getting coaching through the college as well. So it'll be a big help. It's, in a way, it takes all the stress off you for the golf end of it, but you put the head down to do the books work, because in this day and age, you don't get too far without it now. You need it.
What about yourself? Are you hoping to go to college?
Get through the leaving cert now this year, and either, I don't know what I'm looking at yet, hopefully something like Keelan going into Maynooth, or you've the whole American dream then too. So I still have that in the back of my mind at the same time.
Tell me what the American dream is then.
Just the whole, go over there and get a scholarship in America and play golf over there. You're practicing at a good level and with good weather all the time. So I'd look into that. That'd be a nice thing to go over and do once I'm finished school in next June.
What about yourself? Would you have looked into going off to America?
Well, at the time, you see, the American thing would be funny. You have to do it when you do your leaving cert. You can only be a year out of education. So at the time when I was at Owen's level, at Owen's stage in life, I tried to look into maybe going to America. As every golfer will tell you, it's the dream is to go out there on a golf scholarship. You're playing in the biggest competitions all year round. You have a good climate to play in, and you're a part of a team then the whole time. I didn't follow through it. I thought about it, didn't follow through with it, it's 5 years later nearly, and I'm going back to college, so going a different route about it.
This is the third international. Josh is our present under-16 international, Josh Mackin.
Can you remember the first time you came up here?
Yeah, I just kept hitting balls, and I just liked it. I wasn't good at the start. I just I just found the process of getting better. I just loved it, like, you know.
Who brought you up at that time?
My dad, yeah. He plays a bit, but, like, the fair's watching me, he can't really play it, like, so.
Has he got plenty of advice for you?
Yeah. No, he's really good, yeah. He's a good influence. He's never really pushed me, you know. He doesn't say, oh, you have to go and practice. So he's good. Like, he always supports me when I have a bad score most of the time.
Now, you say a bad score, so what would be a bad score for you?
Probably 7 or 8 over. On a bad day, plenty of them. A few good days as well. More bad than good days. Yeah, you know. So it's not easy.
And you obviously have a talent or a skill. Like, what do you put that down to?
To be honest, I'm not that naturally gifted. It's more so just practice. You know, just beating balls and making sure that the bad shots aren't quite as bad. You know. Just practice.
There's one juvenile member here, Connell Mullins. He started playing golf here about 2 years ago. I think he loves the game and is making great progress from what I hear.
Hi, I'm Connell, and I've been playing golf for about 4 years now, and I really like it. Yeah.
I think his granddad was very influential in getting Connell into golf. Is that right?
Yeah, about 4 years ago, he bought me like this toy club, and I really liked just hitting stuff and. I don't know, I just fell in love with the game, so.
How often each week now would you turn up at the Dundalk Golf Club?
I don't turn up as much as I'd like to. I go about 3 days a week.
So when you come up, are you practicing for a long time, or are you actually out on the course?
I find the practice range, to be honest, quite boring, but when I get out onto the course, like, I find it fun, like, actually affecting my game, so yeah.
And is there any really, really difficult golf holes out there?
I'd probably say the fourth, yeah.
The hardest hole by index is index 4, or the hole 4, it's index 1, it's par 4. It's probably its hardest because of its length, not naturally its difficulty.
That's Damien English, head greenkeeper. I asked Damien what work the club was undertaking at the minute.
Technology is getting a lot better. It's not just happening in the pro game, the amateur game as well. Like, people are spending money. Equipment's getting better all the time, so people hitting the ball further. So we have to. We took under the job of moving bunkers into places where we thought people might hit it. And it was a big underlay. We'd done a few other little tweaks while we were doing it. And. Lucky, you have to move with the times. Like, Dundalk Golf Club is here. It's here now 112 years actually, and you have to modernise the course all the time, and it's exciting to be part of that.
Damien tells me that they are replacing evergreens with hardwood trees.
We are here on an existing site that has an awful lot of trees, evergreen trees. We've been kind of culling them to get in more native hardwoods the last few years. And we've generally been taking out about 100 every year. We've a lot to go. We're replacing with national hardwood, oaks, ash, beech, specimen trees, if we can get them in from Europe, you know. Like, and it's really to create a bit of colour and a bit of feature around the place.
Sean introduced me to Vincent Conlon, who has been involved with the juveniles for over 20 years. The club has 3 internationals, and 2017 was the first year that the club won a Leinster pennant and the Fred Daly Trophy. Vincent told me about the strong tradition in supporting junior and juvenile teams at the club.
When did you join the Dundalk Golf Club yourself?
I joined as a juvenile, actually, back in 1975, yeah. And ironically, Brendan McCooey was captain that year, so there's a bit of a strange... Well, you know, it's one of those things, and he was involved as a junior, so... So I would have played on the juvenile teams like back in the late 70s. The Monarchs started back in 1991 when Tom Monaghan was captain, and Tom would have been brother of Phil Monaghan. Yeah, Phil's brother. Yeah, the Monarch Properties company, and Brendan McCooey and Jimmy Casty would have been the two men who'd have been involved in the juvenile section here since it started back in 1972, and. Tom decided that they wanted to do something for the juveniles, so, and The only competition, inter-club competition at that time was junior foursomes. You're only guaranteed one competition every year, you know what I mean? So if you were beaten, you were gone for the year. So in an effort to try and improve the standard, they started this competition back in 91 and they invited, at that time, Sea Point wouldn't have been in existence. So they came on stream in 95. So then Brendan would have given it up then in around 1999, and I virtually took over from that point. So.
And Vincent has been running the juvenile section since then.
I now want to introduce you to one of our bar managers, Lisa. Lisa has been with us for 3 years, is a fantastic addition to the golf club. She works tirelessly here. She's very much involved in a fundraiser we have for the juveniles. It's called Last Person Standing, where we have over 200 people in it, and she's the girl who gets the money off them, who checks the results and makes sure those that are to be knocked out are knocked out. She does great work for the club.
Well, basically we're trying to raise money to help the juniors with expenses. So when they go and play in competitions, it helps with travel expenses, if they have to stay over, you know, so it's to raise a bit of money for them. So basically what it entails is picking a football team each week. You can't pick the same football team twice. And, you know, if the team gets draws or beaten, you're out, you know. So it's a bit of crack, you know, it's a bit of banter on a Sunday morning with all the lads and everything. So it's basically just to raise money, just to help all the youngsters. It's a great place if anyone wants to come up and have a table quiz. It's a fabulous venue for it, you know, so it's a wonderful place to have them. And plenty of space, plenty of seats, you know, just to raise some money for any charity, whatever you want.
Hi, you're Ronan. This is Alan from Dundalk FM.
Hello, Alan.
Hello, Ronan. How you doing?
Ronan took over the catering franchise in the golf club here at the start of the year and is making a great job and doing very well, and I think the feedback from all the members and visitor alike in relation to the new standard of catering is fantastic, so long may it continue.
Would you have many vegetarians or vegans here?
Yeah, a few. I think gluten free is the main food intolerance that we find across the board, whether people are actually a celiac or whether they just want to live a gluten-free lifestyle. It seems to be inherently what's the biggest demand for.
So what's on the menu this evening? I know you're busy and looking to get back into the kitchen.
tonight you've got pan roast salmon. It's with the spinach cream, garlic prawns and a roast pepper potato cake.
Okay, I'd like to hand over now to the man of the moment, our Captain Michael, to say a few words. Thank you.
Lady Captain Liv, Lady President Kitty, Vice Captains Pat and Jerry, and President Noel, ladies and gentlemen and guests. I'd just like to start off by saying thank you all for the support you've shown to me this year, and to thank everybody for their kind comments, presents and cards on my day. To all the men who played both weeks, and the ladies who played in the nine holes, my invited guests, who we all know who they are, and they've all supported me through the year again. Thanks. David and Lisa in the bar and their staff. Ronan in the kitchen and his staff. Leslie, our pro. Damien, our head greenkeeper. Just like to thank Damien for getting the course back to its normal playing position, not like it was on Friday. The amount of comments I got about the holes, you possibly just stir up. All of the hard working committee and all on council, who people will sometimes forget, give up their time free just to look after them playing their golf. I'd like to give special mention to tournament. It's a thankless job, I've done it for years, and they're led by Pat Davis and supported by Desi Ward, Barry Grennan and Sean Heshin. They need a round of applause.
Thank you for listening. My name is Alan Byrne and you have been listening to Dundalk Golf Club, the sixth and final part in the series Community Sports Clubs of County Louth. This programme was funded with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee.